The following program may contain material that is unsuitable for some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Aftermath Radio should not be considered a substitute for services provided by a licensed mental health professional. Good afternoon and welcome to Aftermath Radio, brought to you live from the K-Beach radio station at Cal State Long Beach.
I want to talk over the music today, because I like it when DJs talk over the music. Welcome, Aftermath Radio. Welcome back from spring break. Dr. Robert Chug, assistant professor...
What is funny about that?
I don't know.
That's all on you, Rob.
I just felt like, you know, how DJs talk over the music. I think that's cool.
Whatever you'd like.
Yeah.
Dr. Robert Chug, assistant professor of criminal justice and forensic psychology here at Cal State Long Beach. We are back after spring break. This is Aftermath Radio. Said that already. If you want to speak with us, the phone number is area code 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. You may Skype us at aftermath.radio. You may email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And as always, we encourage you to check out our website. It's at aftermathradio.org. And in the left-hand column is a link to Aftermath Radio. Click on that button and all of our podcasts are lined up there ready to go for you to listen at your leisure. And I was going to throw the ball over to Brian, but he looks sort of frantic right now. Are you frantic?
No, I'm okay.
How was your spring break?
Good, good. We went to San Francisco last weekend.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's nice. It was really nice. We had good weather.
Good.
And Britney Spears was up there.
How do you know?
I know. I mean, she was up there. She was walking through the Castro. I didn't see her, but I'm not a huge Britney Spears fan, but apparently San Francisco is, so you got to play along with it.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. When in Rome, right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I love Britney.
Chantal Fahmy, how are you?
I'm good. I had a relaxing spring break, and this morning, this is the reason why I was late to class, Brian. I almost forgot. I had to go back to school today.
Yeah.
All
right.
Today
it's
is Monday.
It's kind of a drag. I think I got all in all about 11 hours of break, and it was Thursday when my wife went to work and my son was at school. I think I played PlayStation 3 all day. That was my my spring break.
You would have a PlayStation 3.
I have a big L on my forehead, right? Okay, we're glad to be back. We're glad to have you here. Great show lined up. We have Dr. Paul Babiak, the man with the golden voice, coming on in a half hour, talking about how to deal with a psychopath at work, which I think is a very timely topic. Have either of you ever worked with a psychopath at a job?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Yes and no?
Absolutely.
It really does make it tough, doesn't it?
Yeah. We've talked about this. Entertainment industry. Lots
of
them.
Oh, right.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Could throw a stick and hit 10 psychopaths, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Paul will be talking about that. Let's see. What we're going to do right now, I think we're just going to freestyle it. We had a couple things we want to talk about. I wanted to read an email. So sort of an impromptu Aftermath Q&A. We got that?
Sure, yeah.
Email version?
Oh, email version.
You've got mail.
No, you've got mail yet. Sorry, you've got mail. There you go.
Was that the real one, or did you just pull that off?
No, he just pulled
that
off.
That was not bad, actually.
Really?
I had to lift my. Did you see? I lifted my head up.
Yeah.
Like he got it. That's on our to-do list. And the other thing on our to-do list, by the way, is the website pictures, right?
Yes.
And I have the feeling that once we get those pictures up, the mail traffic will significantly increase.
Yes.
Once they see photos of Chantal and Gigi, I'm assuming. Okay. So this is actually not an email per se. It was off the Aftermath forum, but it was directed to me. And I thought it was a really good topic to discuss here. Just very briefly bring it up. Dr. Shug, this is from a person, survivor of a 13-year marriage to a man who this person felt was a psychopath. I listened to your show, and while I'm sure that some of the technical information is very helpful to many people, I would really like to see a broadcast done regarding more detailed information about the emotional and psychological abuse that people use to hurt others who are in relationships with them. And I think that's a great idea. Information in regards to physical abuse and domestic violence has become more available in recent years, allowing many victims and also society to identify and see exactly what it is and how it affects lives. And I feel that a focus also needs to be put on teaching society about the emotional and psychological abuse side of domestic violence, especially since For a victim in the midst of this kind of abuse, it's almost impossible to see and understand what's happening to them. I know that I didn't. I never knew that when my husband said I was crazy or, quote-unquote, too sensitive, or when he would criticize the words I used to express myself, that he was actually abusing me. And there was actually much more abuse than this. These are just examples. She goes on to say, looking back, I can see how it started in little ways and then became even more abusive and frequent until it got to the point that I had been so manipulated and psychologically and emotionally abused that I was truly mentally and psychologically incapable of seeing what he was purposely and maliciously doing to me. I did not know what constituted emotional and psychological abuse, and I truly believe that if I had known, I may have been able to see it and get out before much of the damage was done. And I communicated back with this person, and I told her I really don't have much expertise in this field, but that I would try to line up a future show that would specifically address this, you know, the emotional and psychological abuse associated with the psychopathy, physical abuse as well. I do believe, though, that the research is very limited when it comes to a relationship between physical abuse, domestic violence, and psychopathy. I'm not saying the link does not exist. I just think that there really haven't been many studies done. So that's where we're at. But I just wanted to point that one out and let you know that we will bring in that up hopefully before the end of the semester. So that was that. Now, you guys are, I don't know what you guys are doing. What's going on?
I'm just setting up Skype. So
oh, okay. Oh, cool. So people can call us. They can Skype us at aftermath.radio or call us at 562-912-3541. Excellent. Okay. I love it when there's a flurry of activity, right?
Yes.
That makes me feel good. Okay. So a couple minutes left. We wanted to very briefly mention the fish head thing, the fish head app, right? Should I introduce this or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the fish head movie. What's the movie actually called? Does anyone know the title?
Fishhead.
It's called Fishhead, and it's about psychopaths and sort of how to identify them, and it's kind of meant to target a sort of wider audience rather than just a scientific, necessarily, type of audience. And a couple of clips are available online as sort of previews or promos, and what's the website?
FHmovie.com.
FHmovie.com. Go to FHmovie.com and check out these two clips. I think the movie's very well done. It's very sort of urban and street and kind of down, I guess, yeah, as the kids are saying, right? But Robert Harris in it. Paul Babiak's in it as well, and they do a really good job really just kind of spreading the word about psychopathy. But along with the film came this app for the iPhone, right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Now, who wants to – did you want to describe it, Chantel?
Basically, it's an app that they're saying it's a very crude tool used. And if you think that there's, you know, a psychopath in your your midst, whether it be a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, coworker, whatever it may be, that there's simple 15 questions that you answer yes or no to, and dependent upon your answers, there is a scale. It looks like a thermometer, mm-hmm, and it tells you, you know. I was messing around with it, and one of the ones said, "Be very afraid," you know.
Oh,
at the
really?
End. And
that's,
then another
that's the
one
output.
Yeah,
variable there?
I've
okay.
got a few of those too.
Another one said, "You need to get this person out of your life right
okay.
now," or something like
yeah.
that.
All right.
So.
Yeah. And initial reactions, Brian Frederick, because you brought this up to me a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I think it's interesting. I think it's fun. My friends and I have had fun with it because they hear me talking about psychopaths all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And here's something that they can download onto their phone and they don't have to ask me questions anymore, right? Because I'm not the expert. But
through osmosis, you are becoming the expert.
I mean, through osmosis, I'm becoming the expert, yes. Apparently in my circle of friends. Yeah. Anyway, there's no disclaimer on this app, though, that says, you know, to be used for entertainment purposes only or not to be used as a diagnostic tool. And if I'm not mistaken, it is based on the B-Scan, which is a, you know,
right.
a professional instrument.
Absolutely.
That people are probably trained extensively on.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, yeah.
my fear, and especially because they characterize these psychopaths in this app as a vampire, my fear is...
Really?
As
a vampire?
It's like a little...
Yeah,
looks like a little Batman
it's like
type.
The hotter the thermometer gets, the more like you know demonic this man becomes.
Oh, okay.
With his briefcase turns into a pitchfork, and he like flies towards the screen with a bloody fang.
So it's like Satan himself. It sounds
yeah,
like.
And it's all like right. you know, okay, where do we draw the line with this kind of stuff?
Right.
You know, we're dealing with a mental illness,
mm-hmm.
And we're characterizing these people as demons, and you know, I understand why. I mean, they do some pretty you know evil things.
Mm-hmm.
However.
Yeah, it sounds like there's probably a trade-off going on here of accessibility on one hand and then sort of a valid actual
yeah.
thing on the other, you know?
I mean, and we want people to be warned,
right?
But, you know, why not an app for violent schizophrenics? Would we see that, you know? Would we see an yeah. app for, you know, homicidal, you know, bipolar manias?
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Slippery slope.
Exactly. Okay. Well, okay, and I hate that expression, but yes, you're right.
I know you hate that. That's why I said it.
Suicidal psychotics. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Okay, well, we just wanted to point that out, and people can download that app from the site, right?
And yeah, why don't we encourage our listeners to download the app and
maybe they can call in.
Talk about it in a couple weeks, right?
Well, I talked with Paul earlier, and we're going to arrange for a show probably specifically on this topic, the movie and the app, and so we'll go into more detail. But it'd be nice if people kind of got a feel for it, and maybe they can call in and use it on some of their friends and tell us what they think. I think that'd be great.
Just go to your app store, and how do you access it on the app store and on the iPhone?
You just, when you click on app store under search, just write Fishhead, F-I-S-H.
EAD.
There's only one H. Yes.
Right, but didn't they give a disclaimer about it being a crude tool and not to be? Okay, what do they say there?
At the end, it says, I mean, after you're done, it says, you know, this is a very, very crude tool, you know, not to be used.
Does it say not to be used?
Okay, let me read it exactly.
Chantal took a
liar. Hurt with her moisturized elbows.
No, because I just want to make sure that I'm not talking
about
my...
The problem with psychopathy is real, and this is just a very crude tool. If you're suspicious, make sure to inform people in your circle of friends.
I'm vindicated.
All right. Thank you. All right. We got to go to break, so we'll be right back after Myth Radio. Dr. Robert Chuck.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
Aftermath Radio.
Aftermath Radio.
Welcome back to Aftermath Radio. Dr. Robert Shug, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State. We have on the line, I believe we have on the line, Dory. Dory, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Excellent. And Dory, were we able to say where you are last time, or are we keeping that on the down low?
No, I'm in Florida.
Okay. And she's proud of being in Florida,
what
too.
A trooper.
I am very proud. It's such a beautiful time of the year.
Dory's been on the program before, and you have survived a relationship with a psychopath, correct?
Oh, yes. I have.
And we were talking about that. I remember that was a few weeks ago. And we brought you back on today to talk some more because it is such a fascinating story. And you and I were communicating earlier today by email, and we thought that maybe talking about... Well, what did you want to talk about? I'll put it back to you then.
Well, you know, there's so many things that I would like to talk about, but today I thought maybe we can concentrate on ourselves. So, non-psychopath, and just ask this question, why people are attracted to individuals with psychopathic traits.
Okay, that's pretty good. And you were at one time, correct?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
This is why I am here.
Okay, so.
And I can't say that, you know, this attraction stops once you see the traits and what you who is a psychopath and who may be a psychopath. And, you know, very recently we've heard so many stories about Charlie Sheen.
Right, we certainly have.
Yeah, and he was so eager to go on one interview and another interview.
It literally took an earthquake and a tsunami to get that guy off the radio, didn't it?
Absolutely, and I'm sure that everybody would agree how narcissistic he was. And at first, people maybe were surprised, and they thought, "Well, he is an actor, so this is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an act,
right?"
Well, but it isn't an act if you read his story, his life story.
He tends to be narcissistic as a rule, is what you're saying then.
As a rule. Mm-hmm. Also, he appears to be so strong and so nonchalant, yet very charming, is because I'm not judging him, because he was right, saying that nobody who has been in the same room with him can pass a judgment, which it is very true.
Mm-hmm.
But just by following his appearances, and then being totally fascinated by people's reaction.
Now, would you say that people have been attracted to him?
Absolutely.
Now, I'm even going to step further, Dory. Would you say that you maybe a little bit, just a little bit, were attracted to Charlie Sheen over the past few weeks?
I am totally fascinated.
Okay, okay.
Not by him, but by the whole story. And, well, maybe by him too, but you see, but with me, it's both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I find him interesting.
Right.
But I'm also finding him extremely interesting because of what I know.
Sure. Now, I will say this. You know, we're not diagnosing him as a psychopath, certainly. And my working hypothesis with Charlie Sheen is he's ramping up in sort of a manic episode, that he has bipolar illness, and the grandiosity, sort of the flight of ideas, the hypersexuality, the irritability and aggressiveness. That these are also symptoms of mania. But I don't know if this is the way he is normally in life, and that's how you would approach a diagnosis like this. Is you would say, well, is this person acting different right now? In which case you might go for more of a mood disorder thing, or is this the same way they always are? And then you would probably lean towards psychopathy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But so in your case, do you remember those first magical moments with your ex and perhaps some psychopathic traits you were attracted
to?
Yeah,
because it was the same, you know, this charm and this self-confidence. I think you were asking me how is it that I was so attracted last time,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't really pinpoint. And I think what it is that most women probably are attracted to a strong man. And a strong man is the one who has a lot of self-confidence. And in my case, my ex-boyfriend didn't have to have the self-confidence because he was making $2 million per movie episode.
Wow.
He didn't have much, in fact, except his brain. He was very bright, and he still is very smart. He can figure out anything, and I still believe that he can do anything that he can set his eyes on.
Sure.
From mind.
Sure.
But that is because we find these people attractive because they get to where they want to be without hesitation, and the normal human being will hesitate because they might think, well, you know, am I hurt this person's feelings, or I may feel guilty, or I may be responsible for something. Well, he doesn't.
Right.
Because he's not capable. And so this is why I was so, so taken aback about Charlie Sheen's story and how people are following him. And maybe I can, you know, maybe I'm rambling here a little bit, but there's a lot that I was going to say. Because I was always fascinated with the story about people, you know, who follow leaders who are really, really bad.
Right, like cult leaders, right. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Gaddafi, you know, how is it that one human being is able to pull so many followers?
Right.
Interesting, right?
Very interesting. Hey, and Brian had a question for you. Brian, do you want to ask?
It's a question. It's also kind of a statement. It's an observation. I mean, I think we can all kind of agree that they're charismatic, they're charming, maybe they're handsome. So we kind of know why we're attracted to them. But why do we stay with, and I say we, the general we, mm-hmm. why do people stay with them once they've had that, feel?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, once they show their true selves and you have that turn in your stomach that's, is this really the person that is portraying himself to be. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I have an answer to that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Very easy. First of all, because you got, you know, that comes after a while where you're so hooked and so addicted, because we become addicted to these people.
Right.
And to cut themselves off and go into the normal, you know, life, it's withdrawal. You become depressed, you are down, mm-hmm. your life is not as exciting.
Right.
Even arguments were exciting.
Right. No, and there's other psychopathic traits that we've identified that are attractive, you know, in I guess in moderation or to a degree. We've talked about the grandiosity, that's sort of like self-confidence, right? And someone who's superficially charming. Well, everyone likes people that are charming, you know, maybe not so much superficially. But people who are sensation-seeking, adrenaline junkies, you know, these people are very exciting. Sometimes people who are irresponsible, you know, on one end, they're sort of carefree and sort of liberating in some sense. And people might be drawn to this, particularly if they leave very sort of structured lives. You know what I mean? This could be very attractive to them. I can understand that.
Yeah, and actually most of us live well, I would say a normal life. I mean, most of us. I mean, what, 99%? If 1% is a psychopath. So this is why we are drawn to somebody who is stronger than us.
Right.
Which is probably normal in the wild too.
Sure, sure. Evolutionarily speaking, I think that's probably true. I like the dog barking in the background, by the way. I think that adds...
I am so sorry.
Dory, I'm glad...
They're trying their best.
I'm glad you have a watchdog.
No, actually. We like to be like a down-home kind of show, right? So if you could have a baby crying, that would be even better, right?
Oh, no. Don't scare me.
All right, Dory, we got about a minute left. So what would you have to say to everybody then as it relates to the, sort of being attracted to psychopathic traits? Any words of advice?
Well, what I would like to say and where I would like to finish this conversation for today is... anybody who is interested in the study, why we following, I would really strongly encourage to Google Stanley Milgram, M-I-L-G-R-A-M.
Yeah, we know Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
We do, right?
Yes, right.
And that was studied down all the way in 1963.
Right. Obedience. Right.
And yes, and basically, people follow orders.
Yeah.
Without questioning, and up to 65%.
Except your
65%
dog.
65% without that is really frightening.
It sure
so
is.
I always encourage people to stand for your own rights and think for yourself. Be a free thinker and don't follow without questioning.
That's good advice. All right, Dory, we're going to have to let you go. Sounds like you need to feed the dog.
All right, thanks.
We'll have you on again real soon, okay?
All right, bye,
all right,
guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, commercial break?
Yeah.
We'll be right back after Meth Radio.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
If only it were that easy.
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on K-Beach and get the facts about psychopathy.
Aftermath Radio.
Aftermath Radio.
Aftermath Radio. We are back, Dr. Robert Shug. If you'd like to speak to us, phone numbers... Why don't you read the phone number, Chantal?
Oh.
562-912-3541.
What is that again?
562-912-3541.
And if they want to Skype us, where do they Skype us?
Aftermath.radio.
And what's our email?
Aftermathradio@kbeach.com.
Great. All right. I like
nice
it.
Nice touch. Yeah.
We'll let you know if you get the gig. All right. I'm very excited to have our next guest, Dr. Paul Babiak, who is an industrial and organizational psychologist in private practice in New York. Dr. Babiak coaches and consults to executives and organizations on leadership development issues. He is the author with Robert Hare of the book Snakes in Suits When Psychopaths Go to Work. He's also authored several scientific papers and book chapters and speaks about the corporate psychopath to audiences around the world. Paul, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Good. It's the man with the golden voice.
That's, you know, I have to tell you, I went into the city to see a client last week.
Uh-huh.
First thing he says to me, so how's the golden voice?
Oh, my gosh.
So a lot of people are listening to your program.
I think it's just your reputation precedes you is what it is. And I was actually thinking on the walk over here, Paul, how having you on the show is like being the kid on the basketball team with the super tall kid, and that the super tall kid's going to do great and we can kind of slack off a little bit, right? So you always take the level of class up a few notches and we can just kind of, you know. All right, so today you are talking about how to deal with a psychopath at work.
Right.
And I think most of us have probably had a similar situation to this and can probably identify with it. So what did you want to say about that? You may as well get right into it.
Well, actually, this is the most frequently asked question I get, you know, how to deal with a psychopath at work. Now, most of the situations are very personal and have unique characteristics. But in general, a true psychopath in the workplace causes problems for many people, and for very different reasons. On the one hand, you could be supervising a psychopath and have the difficulty of getting work out of someone who is more interested in manipulating other people in the system.
Hmm.
You also have to time spend time watching your back, which takes your attention away from your day-to-day supervisory job.
Right.
On the other hand, you could have a psychopath who's a peer, a guy or gal in the next cubicle. Now, this may or may not pose a problem for you, depending on whether you have to work with or interact with this person. And also, whether they have identified you as a target or perhaps as one of their rivals, in which case you're going to have your hands full. Now, as I said in the first example, you find yourself spending too much time managing these interactions and not enough time on your job, which, of course, makes you look bad, and they will use that against you. But the most frequent scenario is one familiar to maybe many of our visitors to the Aftermath Foundation Forum, which is working for psychopaths. So what I've done for today is I thought I'd work up some do's and don'ts, you know, a list,
mm-hmm.
based on my experience helping people deal with this kind of situation on the job.
Great. And so in your own private practice, that you come across this question all the time, don't you?
That's the primary reason people call me. Either they have any of the three scenarios that I just described.
Right.
A lot of my clients are either the boss or the person who owns the company, and they've got one on staff. But I've also worked with quite a few people who work for the psychopath.
Interesting. Okay, then what would be the first do or don't?
Well, number one, don't label someone a psychopath. Now, this one is a problem for several reasons. First, you know, unless you're qualified to do the diagnosis, you really could be wrong. And the fact is, there are lots of just plain bad bosses out there, either because they were never trained in being a supervisor, or they have a style that doesn't fit with what you expect a good boss to be, or maybe they don't think you're a good employee,
mm-hmm.
and they aren't really skilled enough to motivate you or help you improve. And the second reason is that when you call someone a psychopath, basically it's name-calling, and it doesn't really reflect well on you. In fact, it makes you look childish. And even if you're right, most people will find, you know, other reasons for you doing this. They'll think that you're jealous of your boss, that maybe you're not a good performer and you're trying to hide, or maybe you just don't get along with people. So whether you're right or wrong, you run the risk of a backlash if you name somebody a psychopath.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So not labeling them is the first one. What would be the next one?
Well, don't confront someone you think is a psychopath. Now, this may seem obvious, right? But psychopaths are very good at triggering intense emotional reactions in people. Some positive, but most of them very negative. And once you've realized you've been dealing with a psychopath, the tendency is to want to take them on, to get even. And I've never seen this successfully implemented in a business situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a corollary to this is always remain cool and calm when you're around a psychopath, or someone you think is a psychopath.
Right.
Don't show anger. When you talk to them, stick to the facts. Don't get sucked into blaming them or other people for things that are going wrong. This in itself, actually, even though it's the right way to go, may push them, the psychopath, over the edge. So they may show even more anger or abuse towards you. It's sort of like walking through the woods and you see a snake. Oh, is that a snake? You poke it. Well, like, that's not the right thing to do.
Right. That's a bad idea.
It's never poke a psychopath.
Don't poke a psychopath. Right.
Yeah, it really pisses them off.
And don't poke Dory's dog either.
Oh, I've heard about Dory's dog. Yes, but, actually, I've heard Dory's dog.
I'm sure you have. Yes, we all have. Actually, worldwide, everyone's heard. But it's interesting because it seems like this would really be sort of contrary to the natural gut reaction of wanting to, perhaps not remain cool and calm. You know, I don't know that I would be able to remain completely cool and calm.
It's not easy to do because mm-hmm. the psychopaths, and I'll mention this later, they push your button.
Yes.
And they do that purposefully because they want a reaction out of you.
Right.
They want you to lose control in front of others, and then they point to you and they say, see?
Right, right. Okay, so don't label, don't confront someone you think is a psychopath. What's the third do or don't?
Never be alone with them if you could all help it. And if you are with them, try to have somebody there. Have witnesses, basically. Because you're going to need these witness accounts later on if you want to do anything about the psychopath. The fact is that psychopaths really do their best work in secret. Okay, so you don't want to interact with them on their turf, which is behind closed doors, just you and them.
Right. Now, it sounds like the thought might be sort of thinking about laying the groundwork, perhaps for some sort of legal action or maybe some other sort of employment action. Is that a good strategy?
Oh, that's exactly where we're going.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to take the wind out of your sails.
Yeah. No. That's right. That's what you want to do. Now, ideally, you don't want to have a legal action. I mean, to be honest, you want this to go away.
Right.
But most of the people I work with, they're already in the middle of those kinds of things.
Right. Okay. We've got about three more minutes. So what's the fourth one then?
Document everything. And I mean everything. You got to start with things that are in the record. Get a copy of your job description. Get copies of all your performance appraisals. In fact, if you can, get a copy of everything in your personnel file. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, when you interact with a psychopath, take notes, put a note in your day timer or your journal of what went on. You know, who was there, what went on, when, where, things like that. And it should be detailed. The thing is, don't put any emotion in there. It's just the fact. And then if you have a meeting with a psychopath and you're the only one there, you really need to take good notes during the meeting, and then as soon as you're out of the meeting, put them in your day timer. Again, keep out the emotions, you know, just the fact. And it's always good business practice after you have a meeting to follow up with a note or an email back to the person, sort of rehashing what went on, you know, what you agreed to, what you didn't agree to. So it's called a memo of record.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're getting on the record a document that states this or that happened or did not happen.
You're starting the paper trail, or sort of an electronic paper trail.
Exactly.
Right.
Paper trail, yes. And, of course, I much prefer a hard copy because you can take them home.
Right.
And keep them safe. Some companies will not let you take electronic copies of things off their computers. You've got to be really aware of things like that.
Interesting. Okay, what would be the fifth one then?
Well, you got to think in terms of repairing your reputation and your relationships with your coworkers. As soon as you think there's a problem, psychopaths ruin people's careers by disparaging them behind their backs. And by the time you realize that you're dealing with a psychopath, it's usually too late because they've been spreading rumors about you and building bad blood, putting wedges between you and your friends or your peers in the organization. You know, they try to divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
So to the degree that you can maintain your bonds with people, the better the chance that they will believe your side of the story should it come to that. And also, ideally, they'll warn you should they, you know, observe the psychopath doing something behind your back.
Right. Okay, Paul, you got. Can you hang on for another segment?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. After my 30, we'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on K-Beach and get the facts about psychopathy.
Aftermath Radio, Dr. Robert Shug. We have on the line Dr. Paul Babiak, organizational industrial psychologist from New York, talking about how to deal with a psychopath at work. And Paul, you're still there, right?
I am, yes.
Okay. And Paul's been going through some do's and don'ts, and he's mentioned five of them so far. Don't label someone a psychopath. Don't confront anyone you think's a psychopath. Always have witnesses. Don't ever be alone. Documenting everything. And then repairing your reputation and relationships with coworkers as soon as you think there's a problem. And so what comes next then, Paul?
Well, the next is to learn all you can about company policies. Now, this may sound boring, and it probably is. No one likes to read their personnel manual. But these things are written for a reason, as are other policy manuals where you work. So if you want to defend yourself against a psychopath, you really need to know the rules of engagement. And what what I recommend is you focus on how certain systems work and how you can use them to your benefit. For example, I'd start with the performance appraisal system. I'd look at the sexual harassment and bullying policies. And perhaps your company has a code of conduct, which is usually what it's called. You know, many large companies have this. And what it does is it outlines the core corporate values and acceptable behaviors of employees, including often especially managers. So you need to know what you should and should not do, of course, as well as a means to tie the behaviors of your psychopathic boss to a violation of some policy or rule. For instance, if your boss curses at you or disrespects you in front of others, and your code of conduct states that that is inappropriate, then you've got some ammunition. Now, another thing is that some large companies, in fact, many large, very large companies, have hotlines or tip lines for employees to report stealing, abuse, fraud, things like that. You should learn how these work, because eventually you may want to rely on that.
Okay. No, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The next one is to seek advice and help from outside. And here I really mean people who do not work for your company, people who are your friends, who you trust, your family. Tell them what's going on and get their opinion. Often when we talk to our family about life at work, we're trying to convince them how horrible everything is. But what you want to do here is to really get their independent opinion. And they may agree with you, or they may see it differently. You not only want advice, but you want to understand all the perspectives that can be taken. If one of your friends, let's say, has a managerial experience, it's so much the better. You can get that person. Now, if you really do feel your job is in jeopardy, then you may want to consult an attorney. And there are those who specialize in employment law, and they're familiar with things like bullying, harassment, things like that.
Right. Now, Paul, let me just stop you there for a second. And you've been doing this a long time, and I'm sure I've heard a lot of different stories. To what extent will, let's say, in a large corporation, like a human resources department, get involved with these? And how equipped is your typical human resources department to help an employee handle a situation like this?
Well, actually, most human resource or personnel departments do have employee relations people on staff, and their job is to understand what's going on with the employees, try to keep everybody happy and everybody working, you know, making light of it, but there really is a science to this, and they spend a lot of time investigating problems such as this. Now, the question is, how do you get this, your experiences in front of them so they will look at it? So another on the list might be to make a formal complaint, but you don't want to be labeled a complainer.
Right.
So you need to understand what is the process in your organization to file a complaint, and if you have enough evidence, meaning that you have enough documentation and witnesses, and you feel that you have a strong case, then you can go forward with that. And they will do an investigation. Now, they may not tell you about it, and they may also investigate you as part of the process.
Sure.
They have to be neutral.
Right, that makes sense.
Look at everything.
In your experience, have these departments been helpful, would you say? Or let me even put that take a step further. Would they benefit from learning about what psychopaths are?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, a company cannot make a decision, a hiring or firing decision, based on your personality.
Right.
So even if it's proven that, Paul's a psychopath, they're not going to fire Paul because of that. They can't. Not legal.
Right.
What they have to base their decisions on is observable behavior, which is what we're trying to put in our documentation, and then present them some cold, hard facts that they can take action on.
Right. And I think you had mentioned earlier, it may have even been last year, about documenting behaviors rather than, I think you said feelings or something other, so these are concrete sort of behavioral facts that you are putting into this trail, this paper trail.
Absolutely. They can only act on the behaviors that are harmful, abusive, if you will,
right,
can be observed, and not on the feelings of anyone in concern. Now, that doesn't mean they don't care about feelings. It's just they want to make a legal decision
right,
to terminate somebody or to not promote somebody, and there are laws about how you do that. And so they have to live within those broader laws.
Right. It makes sense. You can't just go to human resources or whoever your boss and say, well, so-and-so's a jerk to me, and they hurt my feelings. That sounds like that probably wouldn't be very effective.
Well, no, and the odds are the psychopath's already done that to you. So
right.
Thank goodness the company won't act on that kind of information.
Right. Okay, so seeking advice and help from outsiders. What's the next one then, next do or don't?
Well, the we talked about making a complaint, and one thing I want to suggest is that you do it anonymously. You know, a letter to Human Resources or Corporate Legal Department. Now, they may ignore it, but I'll tell you it's highly unlikely they'll ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely will not ignore it if they get more than one from, you know, from different people. Bringing to their attention a problem in the ranks. And as long as it's not, you know, 4 pages long and very inflammatory and over-emotional, crisp, it should be 1 page, state the facts, and they will, it will get their attention, and they may do an investigation, you know, independent of the letter to try to find out what's going on. And then the next thing is to have an escape plan. People don't like to hear this, but the fact is that you don't know how things are going to go. If the psychopath is that bad to you that you can't work there, then the first suggestion would be to transfer to another department, and the psychopath might even help you if they think you're viable. Right? If not, then you may really seriously have to consider leaving. But absolutely never walk off a job. Do not up and quit. You want to leave on your terms, not on the psychopath's terms. You want your health insurance. You want a good reference. You know, all the things that you would normally get when you separate from a company in a rational way, you would lose if you storm out the door. So
sure.
Never do that. And you may want to do that, but you really can't. You're shooting yourself.
Right. And as you said, the psychopath wins in that scenario.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, then what's the last one then?
Well, I think there's two bits of advice that are more preventative than after the fact. And one is to manage your reputation, and the other is to know thyself. And what I mean by that is that psychopaths win because they destroy your reputation. And that's the perceptions other people have of your competence, how well you do your job, and your loyalty. How committed are you to fulfilling the objectives of the company or your boss or your team? Like in the military, team is very important. So are you loyal to the team?
Right.
And all the psychopath has to do is to raise a doubt. That's all they have to do. And once a doubt is raised in other people's minds about whether you're really competent and really loyal, they will begin to start seeing evidence of you being not competent and not loyal. True or not, that's just the way people are. It's
sure.
Nature. So you don't want that process to start. So you have to manage your reputation. Always focus on being competent, doing the best job you can, and always demonstrating as much loyalty as you're capable of. And then know thyself is really getting to the heart of how the psychopath plays with your mind and your emotions. They are very good at understanding your hot buttons, you know, what sets you off, your weak spots, what are you afraid of, what are some of the flaws that you don't want other people to find out about. You know, things that really underneath influence your behavior, but you really don't want to broadcast them. Well, the psychopath will take advantage of them. And another couple of things are your personal style, how do you interact with your temperament.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hot-headed and hysterical, or you're cool and calm? They'll take these and they'll twist them and they'll present them in the worst possible light. The best thing is for you to know about them yourself. And if there's something about yourself you don't like, you try to change it. And the other aspects of yourself, you try to convert them into assets and strengths so that they're positives that help your career. So those are my two bits of advice for anyone starting a new job or in a current job.
And that's great advice. It's very practical. I'm sure it hits home for a lot of people. Quick question then, Paul. Have you ever done any work with any like the Hollywood folks from California?
Not that I'm aware of.
Brian Frederick and I were talking about how psychopathic some of these folks seem to be. And it would just be interesting to hear your take on that. But I guess...
Dr. Babiak, I used to work as a talent assistant for many different talent agencies. I started thinking I had a problem because I went from job to job. But it was just that these guys, and girls too, were just insane. I mean, things from, you know, throwing scripts at my head to having me copy pornography for them to just all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I think you can make a mint out here, Paul, if you want to trade coasts.
And you have much better weather than you do in New York.
Yeah, right.
It's about 85 today, isn't it? And sunny? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice.
All right. I think that's about all we have time for, Paul. I want to thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Very soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got a wrap. Were you doing the wrap finger? Or?
Yeah. We're going to give the next show a couple minutes.
Okay, good. I just wanted to say, I think next week we will have Dave Cawson back on. Actually, Dave Cawson was scheduled for this week, and he's in the area. He's like literally within a dozen miles, and I offered to go pick him up and bring him in to do a live in studio thing, and he declined. So we'll have to.
You know what? They can't all be as excited.
Him and his vacation time. You know. Oh, my gosh. Okay. In the meantime, over the course of the week, if you would like to leave us a voicemail, certainly give us a call, 562-912-3541, and Brian Frederick.
I just want to say for all of those who are joining us now and who can finally hear us, for the first 40 minutes of the broadcast, the website was down.
So okay.
If you want to hear the beginning of the show, please go and get it off. We'll make sure we get it up right away for you on the website.
Right. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So call us, 562-912-3541. You can Skype us, aftermath.radio, email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com, and then go to aftermathradio.org, click on the Aftermath Radio link on the left-hand column. That'll take you to the page Brian was referring to with the podcasts, and we'll have that up as soon as humanly possible. All right. So next week, I guess we'll have Gigi back, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And I hope you guys have a good week.
Yeah, we
you
will.
You too.
It's good to be back.
And all
structure's
the
good.
Right.
And the listeners as well. All right, Aftermath Radio, we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Aftermath Radio, production of the K Beach radio station at California State University, Long Beach. Produced in association with AftermathSurvivingPsychopathy.org. Your host has been Dr. Robert Shug. Your producers have been Brian Frederick, Chantel Fahmy, and Gurjeet Brar. Join us next Monday at 4 p.m. for another exciting episode.
If you or someone you know has been victimized and you'd like to talk to someone, call the Cal State Long Beach Counseling and Psychological Services number at 562-985-4001.